Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, New Media for the New Millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get an understanding." Again, welcome to the program this evening with your host, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforawakening.com. That's timeforawakening.com, which is the home page, and listen to the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening, and listen to the live stream there. Or you can download the TuneIn app to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type Time for an Awakening, and you'll see the icon to stream the program live, even into your car. And that's Time for Awakening radio program with a live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. That's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you always see interesting content being posted daily. And before you leave that page, do me a favor and hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook. And Time for Awakening Media has been launched. It should be one of your favorites. If not, put that in your address bar. That's timeforawakening.com. That'll take you straight to Time for Awakening Media, where you'll see more interesting content, blogs and podcasts of the programs that you can download, listen at later times, even share with your friends. So again, make that one of your favorites. Timeforawakening.com. That's timeforawakening.com. Will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Tonight, we're scheduled to have a special guest join us, activist and former official at the Philadelphia Minority Business Enterprise Council. Mr. Hanford Jones will be joining us this evening to talk about the state of Black Philadelphia as far as the rebuild, the Phoenix Project, and the bridge restoration projects. All of these projects are part of Philly 2035. Multi-billion dollar projects. How much of this work are African Americans getting? We'll talk about that this evening with our special guest, former head of the Maryland Minority Contractors Association, Mr. Hanford Jones. He will be joining us after a brief word from our sponsors.
Greater, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215 215- 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. for podcasting or live program scheduling. Hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. Before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum at 7th and Archie in Philadelphia. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir. Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. It looks like we're going to have another very informative powerhouse exchange going on this tonight.
Well, you know, it's subjects like this is that are very important to us, and it should be important to our people here in the city of Philadelphia. You know, they have big plans for the city of Philadelphia, Philly 2035. You see gentrification happening rapidly. You see all these work projects going on in the city of Philadelphia. But when you go around Center City and look at some of these projects, and even if you go into neighborhoods, you don't see our people working. We're going to get inside the numbers tonight with our special guest, Mr. Hanford Jones, former official at the Minority Business Enterprise Council here in Philadelphia and former head of the Maryland Minority Contractors Association. Mr. Jones, how are you, sir?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to have you on Time for Awakening with myself and Brother Richard.
Mr. Richard, I remember you from the Afro Museum back in the day. When I came to Philly to begin working with a top hat and extraordinary clothing. I got you.
that's Richard Watson, who's the curator at the museum.
All right.
He got you a little confused.
Yeah. There's a lot of Richards running around. But we're both at the museum, yes.
Okay, all right. Then I don't know you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good.
Mr. Jones, let's get right into the conversation. You know, I kind of prefaced the conversation by talking about the big plans that the powers that be have for Philadelphia with 2035 and others. We see neighborhoods rapidly being gentrified, North Philly, South Philly, areas of West Philly. And we see building projects going on all over the city. The Phoenix Project, which is over $400 million, the $1 billion Rapid Bridge replacement campaign going on, and also this rebuild that they're planning to go into neighborhoods to rebuild libraries and rec centers. But with black unemployment in Philadelphia still being off the charts, and especially when you talk about black youth working, with the poverty rate being one of the highest in the nation, how much of this work are African Americans getting and that we deserve? Philadelphia is 40-something percent black, 45%. It might be a little more, a little less than that. But how much of this work are blacks getting? And we're going to go inside the numbers with you tonight. Talk about some of these projects. In fact, before we get into that, talk about your work as a watchdog dealing with this issue, Mr. Jones, and talk about some of these projects and go inside the numbers for our listening audience.
Well, in 77, I got a real blessed opportunity to work with the Maryland Minority Contractors Association, a black group of guys who formed the group to create their destiny. At that time, they were about to build a subway in Baltimore. Coming from Philly, I'm like, hey, we already got a subway. Now I can see how it's done, how it's built. And black people were involved immensely. Here in Philly, if you look at a lot of different situations, like there's no black concrete plant operator. In Maryland, there are two. There's no black asphalt company operator. In Maryland, there's one. So it's a whole different money lending freeness there in Maryland versus here in Philly. Some black boys from D.C. came up here and bought 26 tractors and trailers to haul trash, T-A-C. They lasted about 4 years. No investigation, two or three disparity studies have been conducted, but they went interviewed to find out why. Another black guy, Hank Beasley, had 10 nice trucks right outside of Philadelphia, Montgomery County. He's no longer working on the trash bid. You had Odyssey Trucking, black trucking company working on hauling the trash. He's no longer in business. You had Disposal Corporation of America, over 50 years, two generations of black business ownership. And once Mr. Jones died and the daughter took over, people started paying late. And then a company called Swipes, a person who did not sit on the back of the bus and did not have water hoses sprayed on them, were allowed to be on a jury. Well, anyway, they're a disabled business because the husband is a disabled former state policeman out of New Jersey. And, of course, the wife is a woman. So they, I ain't gonna say stole because they were allowed to be able to compete on contracts that were even originally meant for people who did sit on the back of the bus and did get hoses put on them and could not sit on juries. All these programs now are advantaged more by all the people who had those advantages before these programs came about. Right now, as you ask about the rebuild, bids have gone out. You know, every year, any budget of any government takes care of their capital improvements, takes care of their repairs and renovations, creates new designs for stuff that has to be done. That goes on every year. Of course, when you're a new leader, you attack a new title, and everybody's got this panacea that something great is happening. I don't know, Mr. Booker, if I sent you an email that I sent to Darrell Clark and his council members asking that the rebuild be put on a freeze because nothing's changed. Out of the four or five bids that are on the street for rec centers and things like that, it's the same old white boys that are still bidding as clients. My recommendation to them, of course, was to create a different pre-qualification form whereby if you, a white contractor, can identify five private projects and can identify any blacks that worked on that project, you shouldn't be qualified to do business with the city. It's that simple. And I made the recommendation when I was with the city. Negroes and Philly, and I mean Negroes, I'm being very polite, do not want the white man to be in charge. And you'd be surprised how many blacks in government offices like don't want to write reports that show the dollars and the names of firms. The one good thing about the city of Philadelphia is that they do and have been doing since the 90s reports with names of the primes, their dollar amounts, names of the subs, their race, their dollar amount. And, of course, you can really identify how bad you're doing because you don't see many blacks listed, especially construction jobs. You can write big specs that you can only qualify the bidder if you're in a joint venture or are a disadvantaged business enterprise or an Office of Economic Opportunity approved firm. That's a qualification criteria. You ain't discriminating against nobody. They don't qualify, but you got to have heart and the willingness to keep the black faith alive. There is no heart and there is definitely no willingness. You can't keep giving unions exclusivity of their gang members, and unions are gang. If you don't belong in the union, you don't work. If in the 60s and 70s you walked in the wrong neighborhoods, you're left back. And, you know, the bullying and convictions and the U.S. federal government taking over unions, the history is documented. And here in Philly, they don't even have the decency to give the council the records of how many hours were gained by journey persons and apprentices by race and gender. They have those numbers. They don't. The council doesn't have a heart. As the owner of the projects, funding the projects, to not give them a private labor agreement since they're not cooperating by showing their numbers to prove that they should have exclusivity on city jobs. And because they don't give the city officials their records, you can look at the union agreements to see all the white men's names of the officers and executive board members, minus the laborers, because, you know, there's blacks there at the top. But every other union who signs a labor agreement, whether it's PHA, the school district, City of Philadelphia, private projects, building owner management association projects, any of them boys, none of them got a black on the executive boards, officers. So why do we do business with them? The bid spec says all the time, we don't do business with people who discriminate. Well, start with the union. Why are we doing business with them? You got Johnny Doherty's sister having a charter school whose primary mission, in addition to graduating people, that's the basic of a school. But they were approved for the purpose of, hello?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. They were approved for the purpose of creating electrical apprenticeships upon graduation. Well, in 10 whole years, that was never accomplished. So you have the School Reform Commission with all these doctorates and people with titles and positions and tiny lot of books, gave them another approval to continue because they had a high success graduation rate. Okay, but that's what they supposed to do. That wasn't why they were given the charter. They were given the charter to create apprentices out of that school to go to a brother's union and start work. Well, in 10 whole years, it hasn't been done. How do they get the Pennsylvania Department of Labor and Industry training grant? How do they get the U.S. Department of Labor training grants? What numbers do they give those entities to prove they get another year's training grant award? Well, I wonder, do you know how broken the American system really is, but don't nobody care? Well, in our condition, we've allowed these people to take away what originally Parametral set up. When he did the 10% law back in 76-57, Public Law 95-507, where every local government who got Economic Development Administration local public works grant money had to have a minority business program. And that's where many cities, counties, local jurisdictions began to have written language programs. Behind that, that's another issue. At that time, minorities were us, primarily getting the work, and then the other people. Women were on their own column. Well, all of a sudden, blacks in these jobs allowed whites in these jobs who did not sit on the back of the bus, did not have water hoses sprayed on them, were allowed to sit on juries. They allowed those folks to redirect the language. So we're no longer minority businesses. We're historically underutilized. We're small, disadvantaged. were disadvantaged enterprise, and women are lumped into that group. In the state of Maryland, we fought so hard, oh man, to not allow women to be lumped into the minority category. And even though the white power gave it up and created House Bill 64 after our lobbying, they didn't give up the power. They kept that little incorrect thing because they were not a minority in the population. They were not a minority in their access to wealth. So how would they be in our category? Well, anyway, that finally broke away. Under the DBE Gold Program, everybody and their mother and father, slave owners, Confederates today, Klansmen today, are disadvantaged businesses. Because there's no questionnaire to get certified asking you if you belong to a terrorist organization like the KKK and all the other kind of groups that still are allowed to fly their flags in America. You fly an ISIS flag, you're going to jail. You fly a Confederate flag, people ask you where they can buy one at. That's how crazy we are in this country. So the MB program is lost, and after 40 years, I don't want to say it's corn. I don't want to say if I stopped, it ain't going to happen in terms of advocacy and reading other people's reports, making them give them up. I sent to you today, Mr. Booker, two or three, and it's just pitiful. It's pitiful. You've got an Amtrak, one of the grandest black architects in Pennsylvania. Son ran the Amtrak DBE office. If out of 60 times in 3 years I tried to reach him, it was 60 failures.
Yeah, Mr. Jump.
His replacement ain't much better. Mr. Now, I don't want to drop names, but.
No, I mean.
Yeah, man, it's terrible right now. You had a black lady at PennDOT award a $2 billion P3 bridge project. Public-private partnership. And before she signed off on it, a DBE plan that had like one black firm for a dollar in the mix of $2 billion, it added up to a dollar. Her grandkid couldn't even get on, if she had a business, couldn't get on the contract 25 years down the road because it's a quarter of a century contract. Well, a black woman signed off. We can't blame everything on these other people. We got folks in the position, we got titles, you know, two to three black people in a row in the last 10, 15 years have run AARP. You think they got an MBE program? Huh? Do you think AARP has an MBE program with black people at the helm for the last two or three presidents of that organization? I tried to meet with Local Council 47 union leadership when I retired. They had them create an MBE program. Black people got to be the president. Meeting was scheduled and then canceled and never rescheduled. Now, this is a black man denying me in a union I belonged to when I worked for the city for 17 years, a meeting to discuss our union having a minority business enterprise program. They do a lot of printing, a lot of stuff. Of course, you got to have a union bug. So that knocks out damn near all the black printers. So I was trying to have a meeting with them to take those kind of little caveats out so the level playing field vernacular could come to fruition. That a black man is in my way. If I told you, and you all know yourselves, how many black people are standing in your way of progress or projects you're trying to get done. I wish I had known you. I don't know if you went after that grant the Comcast had to help people get TV stations and stuff. They truly have helped the Hispanic community greatly. But, you know, there's... You know, we need to get on those grants that they had. Of course, Sharice Lilly was one of the highest titled officials in Comcast. And being a lawyer, you would think we would be ensured to have one of the stations when they had those various grant programs to help minorities get into television. So at the prison over there in Phoenixville, I actually went to the previous meeting with a fatwa, as they call it, and handed it out, had most black people put it down, didn't want to have it in their hand. Man, I was like really suicidal that day because I've been in the front of projects that already had started out wrong. Well, design team chosen from Philadelphia, the tenant group, had no blacks on their design team. They would have never won a job in Philadelphia. Because, you know, on the selection committee, they wouldn't have gotten the points that come with having the correct minority business participation. But on a state contract, they didn't have not one, and were allowed to win the job, and still are allowed to be on the Pennsylvania Architectural Engineering, list of architects. They came back and did the Dewar Plaza project design, and again had no blacks on their team. Center City District was in charge. I went to council. I mean, it makes you want to just stop. I don't have good options if I stop, because my other serious things in life, mostly, you can't do.
Well, Mr. Jones, let's
because it's legal.
Let's look.
It's helpful.
Let's look a little bit. Let's look a little bit into this. When the Nutter administration came in, I remember there was a lot of talk about blacks not getting work in construction and blacks not having business opportunities. So I don't know the name of the entity that he created to kind of be a watchdog over blacks getting business and business opportunities.
That was a minority business enterprise.
I remember that he never, because he would go on different terrestrial radio stations, it would never produce any numbers. Now, according to a published report, in 2007, it was a study by the Nutter administration of the trade unions, which is one of the largest problems here in the city of Philadelphia. And in 2007, Philadelphia building trades unions were 99% male and 74% white. They restudied those same figures in 2012 and found that the numbers were still 99% male, but it went up to 76% white. So we see that's a huge problem in the city of Philadelphia, is these trade unions. And that's not anything new, because
The Philadelphia plan that Judge Higginbottom oversaw made those unions report quarterly, I believe, to the U.S. federal court what their numbers were. And I believe that, and I heard, I didn't see them, but their last couple of reports were done in pencil in indignation of the process. I mean, these guys, man, other than buying tables to politicians, fundraisers, 80% of the boys can't even vote for a council person, and they don't live in the city. So I begin to figure out, well, what is it about these people? And why do they have so much power? Well, they pay to fundraisers and they buy tables. Okay, beyond that, what are they doing? And like you said, the eyes won't show you what they're doing because it's all white what you see. And the one or two blacks, they sit by themselves, generally away from the white crews, and say, we are not serious about our freedom, our continued freedom. We're not serious. And I'm not saying I'm the only serious one on earth, but I damn sure was. Not having kids and a wife, does that help? Not worrying about getting fired and being able to go straight forward all the time, that may have helped a little bit. But knowing contractors, knowing our abilities, we had a black man from Ohio who had a Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission contract going through one of the mountains in western Pennsylvania. They ain't going there, 70% complete, and got kicked off the job. Now, you know, the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus, I guess they fell asleep. I don't want to. I've been on the American Indian Delaware Valley Board of Directors. I've been on the Hispanic Association of Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. I have not been on the African American Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. You go figure. So you get ostracized sometimes being a real serious black advocate, because they're persons who advertise in their papers, don't want to advertise no more. But then don't have the newspaper if you're not going to print the truth because you're scared of not having advertisers. Yeah, I understand it costs money to work. I do. It's not fun anymore, man, because most of our problems are ourselves not taking this stuff seriously. The longer we as men and women let these Negroes walk with their pants down their butt, we can't take more destiny any more than we have right this second.
Mr. Jones, you sent me a copy of a letter that you forwarded to city council.
Cool,
Probably like today, yes.
Yeah, and asking them to suspend the rebuild program until they can look over their policies in regards to black primes and subcontractors and black working on these sites. Earlier in the summer, city council had approved, according to a published report, a 16-to-1 approval for the rebuild ordinance to allow $300 million into this project. Now, the question is this, and it's not a question because I kind of want you to talk about this because this is a huge issue. You have black elected officials that are supposed to represent their communities. A lot of these guys come from the communities they represent. They know the problems. They know the issues in our communities. But when they get into these seats of power, or quote-unquote power, they represent other people. How can you, city council, approve money, $500 million towards a city rebuild, when you don't have any guarantees of your people working? At least they should have proportional representation. If black people represent 45% of Philadelphia, it should be 45% of black people working. And if they claim they can't find qualified black people to do certain things, then create them, because it's means to do that.
I mean, if you look at quite a few big white boy contractors, they're not from here either. You know, Perini's from New York, bought out tea. I mean, that's a lot of that. But when Mayor Street did Neighborhood Transformation Initiative and worked with the Black Contractors Group and created some black set-asides, that was how it's supposed to go. I have written 3 times now to former Temple Vice President, who is now a Montgomery County Commissioner, Ken, his last name will come to me, he and the other 2 commissioners in Montgomery County, to have a meeting to discuss having an MBE program in Montgomery County. Do you know how many MBEs and women come from Montgomery County and take part and money on city contracts because we have an MBE program? But those same minority and women friends can't get work from Montgomery County because there is no program in Montgomery County that requires people to use them. So we're not even trying. It's like they don't know what power is. When I first came from Baltimore to Philly in the 90s, and I put an equity ownership requirement in the request for proposal for the, which is now the Marriott's Hotel. People, you can't do that. Says who? It's our proposal. That's what you want. And Mr. Wilson and Dr. J, and a couple other people were in it, but Mr. Wilson was the only one that stayed in it as an equity owner. There's not been another. Oh, yeah, there was. Water Department had a pilot program for waste system. And Mr. Reagan Henry was the equity owner on that project. So we just have to take the power to pen like the white boys did and said we were slaves and we're not men nor equal until some guy took a pen and said, you are slaves and you need to be equal. It was just that simple. If you ever read a disparity study, you would think they're getting ready to build a daggone rocket. I've seen formulas so dramatic that, you know, I don't know if a mathematics professor would know what it does. But in no disparity study has there been an increase in blacks winning as prime contractors as a result of the disparity study. And in Philly, the insidiousness of selecting the former commerce director when the big Jewish scandal thing came down against me, he's the thing. It was his office that happened in. And now he's the authority on black disparity studies. And during his reign as commerce director, the towers that were built in this city, gee, we ain't had no black people install the windows on them or design them. And yet he's now getting paid to say how we're supposed to get a fair share. But yet when he was empowered to allow us a fair share, he didn't do that job. So that's what we got here in Philly.
Richard,
if I had stayed there a little longer, we'd be in a different way. But there's no one taking the ball. If you get listed on a city contract right now on rebuild, there's nobody right now who's going to call and say, hey, give me a copy of your quote to the prime. Well, I did that when I worked for the city. And a lot of times it made me, it enabled me to deny bidders because there were no agreements. The firms they had listed did not have prior quotes of what they were going to do prior to the guy being a low bidder. So my denial rate, signed off by my directors of the office, will never be achieved. Nobody ever will deny as many people as I did. And my bosses signed off on it because the homework was correct. So I'm not tripping when I say deny the most people, because every denial was signed off by an NBC director, and I worked for at least 3-4 of them. And of course, they didn't want to, but they had to, because information proved that the people needed to be denied. And we need more of that, because right now nobody's scared to come to Philly and not have no blacks on their team. I would stand and turn over my head when we had a TBE job, because you're allowed a white firm who wins, because there ain't no blacks bidding. You are allowed to use a white female and not no black, or Asians, or anybody, and not no blacks.
Richard, I want you to.
Because everybody in the office was black and we were approving it. Well, we didn't have to, but right now there's still 49 CFR Part 26, the DBE rules under the U.S. Department of Transportation. There's a section 26.43, Section B, that says any state getting out monies, if the program ain't working right, you got the right to set stuff aside for people who aren't getting their share. It don't say it exactly like that, but back in the 70s in Miami-Dade, Florida, when the Cuban Mariel boat people came over, got settled, got in business, well, they became the DBEs, and blacks weren't getting anything. So for the Arlington Heights station, at that time it was still UMTRA, the Urban Mass Transit Administration. When they built the Arlington Heights station in Miami, they had a black goal on that job. And that was in the 70s.
Right now, Mr. Jones, hold on a second. Go ahead, Richard.
Mr. Jones, I want to slow down and maybe walk through because I think what you've laid out is the understanding of how the power money works, how black complicity and bureaucracy and politics is involved in not being able to get these right business opportunities that are written in law. And so you've been in Philadelphia. So I'll be going over in my couple minutes. I'd just like to go over something that you've already laid out, but I just wanted to make sure that the listening audience understand that this structure that you're speaking about, these regulations that you're talking about, in every city, it is somewhat either mandated by federal law. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Mostly highway and big ticket projects, yeah.
Or they can be implemented in state and local law as it relates to African-American business concerns getting those type of opportunities in those areas. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So now what I wanted to see is like the, and you've been here in Philly since the 90s. So you came in with and as Elliot raised, you came in when Nutter was mayor of the city. Is that
in the last year or so of my mayor Good.
But last, you were here when?
I was here when Nutter was here. We didn't come after Good, no.
Right,
but I was
right.
Here when Nutter was here, yeah.
So were you here, and that's what I'm trying, when you left, you came from Baltimore, you came to Philly, who was the mayor then?
Good.
Good. Oh, so you've been here since Mayor Good. And the challenges that you're speaking to, this is something that you've been observing in relationship to getting these minority contracts.
Man, in 1991, the Minority Business Advisory Council was run by a white man from the Greater Baltimore Contractors, from the General Building Contractors Association.
And is that in Philadelphia? I mean,
it's Philadelphia, man.
I know you said, and Mr. Jones, I know you said you didn't like to call no names, but I think it's helpful for us and, you know, in the listening audience, if we who don't know this intimate information and understanding, so that we could be able to, and again, for the listening audience, it's not just something that is happening in Philadelphia. I mean, we hear about it in Cleveland. We hear about it in Chicago. I think just in Flint, we had, I think it was Reverend Pinkley Elliott that was making reference to the woman that got the contract for the water to redo the pipes. The mayor is now under, being scrutinized mm-hmm. to be placed out of office. So, Mr. Jones, what you're raising for us in Philadelphia, where Black people are in the Northern, Midwestern, and the South, these things are going on when it comes to the ability to get these federal contracts. So who was that person, if you remember, that was the head of that? And it doesn't matter.
His name was John Smith.
John Smith. Was there any black individuals or
part? Oh, yeah, there were blacks, oh, sure, but he headed it. And he ran the group that kept us out of getting work. So we're so polite. You know, this is the sophisticated city where people of color, you know, please, man, give me a damn break with that stuff.
Right,
we're trying to be on the professional hip trip. Instead of keeping it red, black, and green, and your feet to the soul, and remember the war ain't over. These folks are too damn going pretty for themselves and too professionally smart for their dumbness. It really hurts me.
It was Black city council members at that time, too. Were any of them involved in relationship to that minority business council?
Again, we ran it differently then. I mean, we had a black goal for 6 months when I got to Philly. Mm. That my third year, I think, maybe the fourth. It just wasn't happening. So,
by your third year or fourth year, what happened?
We had a black goal in bids. We had gold in bids.
Okay.
The only blacks, you know, the goal to achieve subcontracting or recruiting. To bid as a prime, you had to be a black MBEC firm.
And let me add, with that point there, Mr. Jones and Elliot, I just wanted to, you know, pursue, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
You know, just, with that point right there, at that time when those goals were established, did any information come to you that in other cities also were using that approach to establish?
Columbia. District of Columbia.
Right, District of Columbia. Now, and they
called itself the market. Mm-hmm. But then after about the 10, 12 years, the Spanish boys from Venezuela and all them damn places came up and started killing us in the D.C. area. They had big equipment. The banks gave them money. Reuben Ingenario, Fort Myer Construction, down in the Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission, which did the infrastructure in Montgomery and PG County, Pinchester. I mean, they had all the utility work. So, DC did have a prime contracting program.
And you mentioned the openness that the banks were to those individuals who came into DC. For Philly, was that kind of at the time when those goals? So it's two questions I have in my mind. At the time when y'all were creating, there were goals. Well, did they meet any of those goals at that time?
The program only worked for 6 months, and you know it didn't get enough time to get it going. A couple of the bids, we didn't have people who bid it, and they were poised to bid, but we didn't end up bidding. Now, and again, you got to work like anything. You got to work and make it work. Just like if we had a system where graduated A firms, which is a federal program that sets aside contracts for black and minority and women, if we took some of those graduated firms, allowed them tax privileges to joint venture or buy into existing firms, then you're creating a larger local business.
Which raised that question of when you raised about the PC area and then the bidders coming in from Venezuela and other places, and the banks giving them, you know, offering them what didn't have any restrictions in being able to give them loans. Looking at the banking industry here in Philadelphia, from your experience, were they open to supporting those individuals who had those companies in order to be able to provide the bid, or at least have the capital for the bid, from your
experience? I don't know where Odyssey got their bank money from to get their trucks. They kind of almost took over an existing firm that went bankrupt. Whereas, like I said before, the boys from D.C., TAC, bought the 26 tractors and trailers. Their money came from D.C. up here.
Right.
Hank Beasley, who is from Montgomery County, they had 10 nice uniform colored rigs. You know, everything was the same. I'm not sure where he got his money from. But the one or two people who had fleet operations, Charlie Hannon, has been around since the 70s, they don't have the newest equipment. You know, that's how you visually show that the program is working.
Right,
and you had the highest contract on the convention center, rode his bike to work every day. I don't even think he had a pickup truck with his name on it. Had a $25 million mechanical contract. He was a true contractor. But however the paperwork was worked out, it appeared as if he was the prime. But he was a true contractor, a journey person mechanical, not a fun at all. And he died, I guess, old age, or having the biggest contract in his life. The highest Black woman who had a contract, worked for Cornell Steel, and all of a sudden got in business, and boom, you know, get $15 million of concrete work. Now, they're not in business anymore. So,
and you don't know the relationship between the ability in Philadelphia, because I hear you, and I would like to pursue, as Ellie said, but I like to pursue those bureaucrats and those elected officials at that time that was speaking to the need that black people needed to get these contracts in order to provide work, but were, if I understand you right, they were not necessarily supportive in what they were doing from the positions they were.
They had PCDC, and they made loans to people. To how many? Most, I would say, were more survival loans than expansion loans. There may have been some manufacturers like the guy over there in Delaware County that does boxes and stuff. Yeah, I'm not going to say zero, nobody got work, but he don't bid on city work. He's in the private sector where he makes his work. If you're talking about people doing city work, Pulling before he died was doing a lot of demo work. If they had banking relationships, it was for constant business survival, more so than purchases of new rigs and stuff like that. Because most of them guys were getting old, and they didn't want that overhead. But yet, they made do with what they had. So, no, I would, and again, doctors or lawyers, people like that may have gotten loans and stuff, but if they're not doing business with the city, I couldn't really respond as to if the banking community helped them with a doctor's office or dental office.
Your work was mine primarily looking at transportation and large-scale building in relationship to roads, like roads and bridges, as far as those type of
things. Well, Terminal 1 Airport, a black man did those windows, Johannes. Off-walk in Johannes, Central Glass, right there on Lancaster. He installed all the windows on Terminal 1. Terminal 1, Terminal A, the international terminal, back there just at the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s. I was just coming into Philly, and he was on the window job. There's another glass man. He's retired now. He was on the United Bank. He had a glass company union, but he's, you know, retired. No one has picked that up. So there's no blacks installing glass on no major building.
If we're not on these jobs as primes or subs, then we're not going to be on the jobs working that much. Because a lot of these white...
Union Hall with the laborers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Operating those cranes.
Let me grab a couple calls. 267 area code, 267.
Yes. Brother Elliott.
How are you, sir?
Good. Richard, how are you, Brother Richard?
All right, now. How are you feeling?
Good. You have someone here from the best of my understanding, what's going on with this conversation is that this brother right here is a minority contractor and is looking for or had a hard time getting work in Philadelphia. Do I understand that correctly?
No, he's not.
I'm more of an advocate for black and minority firms.
A black minority what?
An advocate.
Oh, your advocate.
Yes, Mr. Hanford Jones. He's an advocate.
Black Trade Association for 12 years and retired from the City of Philadelphia Minority Business Enterprise Council at the 17. And I'm still an advocate in retirement.
Okay, you're an advocate to help other people get contracts. Is that correct? Am I understanding
that?
Yes. Okay, and the blocking of those people who want to participate, who are capable with the equipment and the skills and the workers, are not getting it. Now, my question to you is, I heard you say if you came here when the Good administration, I think Good was elected like in 83 or 84, is that correct?
I was in Maryland, but you know, when I came here, he was in his last term, I think.
Okay, my question to you is that Maynard Jackson in Atlanta was elected around the same time Wilson Good was in Philadelphia.
Indeed.
And one thing that he did do, to my understanding, is that during his candidacy as mayor, that he made sure that those minority contractors who were developing Atlanta got the bids, got the jobs, and they got the jobs
absolutely
done. And Atlanta is a remarkable place. Now, my question to you is the blocking of folks being able to get those contracts that look like me, you, and Elliot and Richard is the problem of the mayor and council getting the contracts. Now, because color don't make a brother, a lot of people look like us aren't us.
True.
So, right. So in the direction of that, okay, he is a mark, him. And the mayor of D.C., those mayors stood out for helping minority contractors. My question to you is, in what direction should a mayor go to make sure that the African-American community, because we don't want to need work. Everybody gets work but us. Even you might even see Mexicans on the job instead of us now. Asians on the job instead of us now. You might see Asians and whites on the city jobs. One time they didn't want to take a city job. So my statement to you, what direction should the person go who's an elected officer to make sure that we get the contracts?
Well, you know, in addition, as you correctly indicated, those mayors stood up like black men. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a black woman, you got to stand up like a black woman. And it's so far gone now. These black mayors now think it's okay. Everything's no problem because they weren't into it prior to being a mayor. He thinks since you got a program, it's okay. Since you got a lawyer running the program, it's okay. It's the people who run the programs standing behind and being supported by the person up top. We don't have that. People in the programs working it like that so the people up top don't have to support you because you're doing your job and making it happen. In D.C., the workers did the jobs. They collected reports. Right now, when Hillary ran for president, mayor in D.C. should have had the Ibby report that Trump had no blacks on his job. But they don't even do that no more in D.C. They don't even collect the data and click it. You can't go to a website in these black cities other than Philly and click on a button and see a detailed report. And all these black mayors, it's like they don't want to, I don't know how to say it, man, but they have more interest saving a snail that's under the foundation of a building that's getting ready to be built and holding up that building versus making sure that blacks are working on that building. And it's nasty to say, but a horse can't walk downtown with visitors if it's over 100 degrees. But a construction project can have 900 people working and only two blacks, and that's okay on a cool summer day. So you go figure whose priorities are where. Many of us that look like us, the struggle is over. I ain't going to do nothing. give me my check. And that's pretty much the thin line between love and hate with people on the inside. I hated people in government when I ran my association. They were in the way. When I came to Philly and became what I hated, a government official, listen, I got written up one time for sending out too many faxes to people before the emails, you know. I'm like, but that's what we're here to do. Well, no one else would get the chance to send out a fax. There was nobody in line after me. But I ain't saying showing off. I worked, man. It was like war. I had a picture on my desk and almost stopped. Of a black man with a noose around his neck and the embers still smoking in the still picture. And his descendants now have to compete with everybody watching that picture around the circle of the man hanging. All the white women, kids, and old men are either, you know, women businesses, a veteran, a small business, a handicap business, and they can compete against the man on the tree that had the noose hanging on his neck and the embers still smoking in the still picture. Those people can compete against his descendants. That's how ridiculous these programs are. And until we take hold, restructure the language, redefine who we want to do business with, and that's simple. I get it. Mr. Booker, you have it. Change the pre-qualification procedure. If you big in a white firm and can't show me 5 private jobs where you use black people, Philly don't want you. We can incorporate somebody who can do what we want. Well, where do you think Tudor Perini came from? Where do you think major architects who've done all these towns in the city came from? China, everywhere. We don't have everything from Philly done by everybody in Philly that's white. So why do we got to get off in Baltimore? We can't even go to Baltimore and compete unless you have a 212 zip code. I can't go to Montgomery County, Maryland and compete unless I'm in Montgomery County as a minority business. But blacks in those two areas can come to Philly and get out of work. Well, wait a minute. So they don't want to have serious discussions about this whole thing because I can't be in it. I'm not on no advisory committee on minority business in the city of Philadelphia and have over 40 years in this stuff. And it's not a joke and it's not a game. And if you're not taking it like that it's not a game, you need to get out the way because people are starving. You got Mr. Brown. It's owed $500,000 at 48th and Market at a building that's not going to be what it was supposed to be. It's not going to be what they went to Wall Street to get the money for. And the contractor on that union job, white boy, D.A. Noakes, isn't even union. And he owes Mr. Brown $500,000 on work that's been approved by every city official.
Mr. Jones, you said he's a...
Please let me finish. Uh-huh. We gave a contract to monitor that to a guy, Towson, where he came from. He's supposed to be over there in Saudi Arabia, got work, but he's messing around doing MBE monitoring. And he's got a contract on refill, the same amount of money that Al Brown is owed on a job that Towson also was supposed to be monitoring the police headquarters building. To make sure that Al got paid. And now this man's got the rebuild monitoring job.
Now, you said he's a contractor on a job, but he's not even union.
The white guy.
But he's white. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And some union guy told me, well, he's a member of GBCA. I'm like, and your point? That's a trade association. That ain't a union.
Did you have another question, Tim?
I have a question. My question to you, sir. Would you be willing to, with a whole crew of people, to go and shut these sites down and expose them?
No, go ahead and do that, man. I'm working. Y'all go ahead and do that. I'm truly working. I ain't going to do that. I'm on the governor's committee on diversity, and them Negroes won't even, because I suggested that there be a black hole in state contracts. Well, they agreed but reworded it so that, in addition to blacks, they would be set aside for other races. Well, that ain't what I wrote. And I'm still going to fight that. I said, yeah, you go ahead and do that because there are people that need to do that. And y'all should do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for your call, Tim.
I only got another year of this because I don't want to go to Greaterford. It takes you to that point. Me having a business and I'm not going to get paid? No, thank you. I'll just
Stay strong.
I have to, and thank you very much. I appreciate the encouragement because it's not an easy thing to do. And can you? That's why I do it. But I'm thinking always about that. You can't make that payroll. Who's got the work done and can't get paid? I mean, it's like all these programs.
Let's go, Mr. Jones.
Go ahead, Richard. Go ahead.
If you know, Mr. Jones, you raised this point that that kind of speak to the people who do the work so that the mayor doesn't have to advocate it if they were doing that. And and being proactive and thinking about these departments and these positions that we should have people in, what would you say are the positions, first, the offices, that would be supportive to these minority business enterprise and the contracts? And what are the positions that we should have people in that think like us?
We can't write titled organizations. But, Ms. Harper at the OEO can't go directly to the mayor without being insubordinate because she's got Mr. Atkinson and I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Plus, and what position is Mr. Atkinson in?
He's some kind of in between getting paid to do nothing. And I said it, that's right.
Is he an independent? So you're saying he's independent? Is he holding an office?
He can't hold up anything, Ms. Harper. Needs to get to the mayor because it ain't a priority.
But is that an office?
The way the organization chart is structured.
Mr. Jones, he got a question.
Access to the mayor to get it done quickly.
Mr. Jones.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. What'd you say?
Is that an office that he holds?
Yeah, it's the city government office. It's the new MBEC.
That's the title of the office.
The Office of Equal Opportunity or Economic Opportunity. Mm-hmm. OEO. That took over the Minority Business Enterprise Council.
Office of Equal Opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Economic Opportunity.
Okay. And that person.
And the director is a political appointee by the mayor, and she has a buffer between her and the director of commerce that procedurally, technically, organizational, chart-wise, she has to go through to get something to the mayor that might need super immediate attention.
So the positions we should be looking at, if we were targeting positions as they exist now, the organizational chart right now, we would target somebody to be the head of the Office of Economic Opportunity. And
she needs to be a cabinet member, period, and not have to go through the Commerce Department.
No, well, I'm not.
She's one of the other programs the Commerce Department has. So it's conflicted and confluted with a bunch of other things that the Commerce Department does. And if she has an issue that needs urgent attention, she's got people ahead of her that she's got to go through who have other issues ahead of her issues to take to the mayor before her.
And what I'm trying to do, Mr. Jones, I mean, what you're helping us do is, in the sense of, if we had somebody in that position that she would have to go to who thought like her, then her priority would be their priority as it relates to the mayor.
These are all political appointees.
Ain't nobody in politics
in Philly, no black Tampa nigga thinking like me. Excuse me, but that
being true, when we elect, say, when the population of, say, a Philadelphia or any large or small, but we control or we have a large population and we elect this elected official, then we should know who they're going to put in those cabinet positions and know who we need to be put in those cabinet positions in order to further this kind of development. Is that
if it were about what you said, the volume and content and facts, but how much money did you get in my campaign, position you want me to fill for your money, it's straight old politics.
It's also power. It's about power, the power politics that exists in America.
America, right? It ain't just Philly, right? You can be an ambassador if you bring $2 trillion to the game. Then you can choose your post. And, it's no different here. I remember when in Baltimore, Congressman Elijah Cummings when he was a councilman. Oh, you contract don't bring us no money. Well, there ain't going, councilman. I know he was a state delegate. You know, we were telling him, I was still down the mountain, that if we ain't got no money, no, we can't give you no campaign money. So you got to not think like a politician when you get into politics. You got to think about what constituent services you're trying to achieve first. That stupid movie that Eddie Murphy did with Senator Hughes' wife. That is real, man. That is exactly how it go down. There was no fluff in that movie. That was real. Quit, bro, quit. But see, they didn't know we need to turn off on when you're going for black stuff. That's what I don't get. They ain't know that we don't need to have nothing straight at all. It need to be done and just done and just better. But no, they want to play politics. You know, I have to show you a half inch of emails to the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus executive director, who all of a sudden ain't at that job no more. He's got another state job. They didn't fire him, thank goodness. But the stuff I was giving him to give to the legislators, which they did not ever respond to, man, that's what's so frustrating. You could stop the kid from drowning. You could stop the bus from running over the baby and the mom in the street. But they don't listen, and the kids get killed. The businesses die. They won't. Then it's not interest for them. I even wrote this up and down DMV person because they want the letter K now in the tags. And when that, come home kind of late, thought I saw three K's. Well, seeing two gives me post-traumatic stress. So I wrote to the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus Chair, asking him to get a petition for the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus members to sign off and say they all have post-traumatic stress from seeing two Ks on tags.
And now, who was that chairperson then?
The dude down in South Philly, Jordan Harris. And, he never got a response back.
Oh, wow.
It's like being dropped behind enemy lines. And, well, traditionally, you don't have no support. You know that, but you do. There's always some way out when you're behind the lines if you're in that kind of game. Well, we're behind the lines here, and there's nobody helping. I mean, I just got stuff that's unanswered, just especially at the Legislative Black Caucus level. The prison with no people on it. 90% of the women on the FBI Phoenix job do not have the more stringent Pennsylvania uniform certification program certification. They had them Women Business Network certifications where you pay $100, fill out some forms, boom, yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute, if you don't work on a damn prison, why wouldn't you want to be certified to work on PennDOT work? Well, you got to fill out more truthful stuff. So I gave it to the IG's office. And you said, Jesus Christ.
Mr. Jones, we have two commercial communication outlets. I'm kind of curious as you inform us of this whole, the challenges in relationship to this. How have they been pursuing this information as far as letting the general public know about it? What I'm asking you is...
First of all, the general public, if they have that kind of an interest, would know where to look. And, of course, that would be on procurement websites, either at the state, federal, or local level, just to see what's out there.
But what I'm asking is, one of the oldest black newspaper in America, which exists in Philadelphia, and one of now the a independent radio station, have they been informing the community enough about how the different dimensions and relationship to why we're not positioned to get these type of contracts and what is being blocked? Have they been
this is the first time I've your been advocacy? This is my first time, but the Tribune, I don't want to say how unsettling, uncooperative, uninterested, downright don't give a daggone. Eric Mays was a white writer 8-9 years ago. I sat over there and hand wrote facts down on my head on 2.5 sheets of paper. None of it got printed. I know Mr. Bogart. It ain't like the guy don't know what I'm about. But they don't even prep me. And I'll probably send you stuff.
Not only the political and not only the bureaucracy as far as black people, then also communication outlets is not informing the general public to make us aware of how dire this here has been. I haven't read about that recently,
but the ones that I have read over the last 10, 15 years, you're right, there is no specific monthly story about black projects or what projects in cities with black or non-black mayors and how we're, there should be a column and or a writer. Or a photographer. That's a new industry of jobs that somebody could get that's black or a minority or a woman. Doing that, because no, there isn't a monthly person who handles that type of medium inside our medium outlets, like the Tribune or Black Enterprise or Essence. I mean, all of them, they have stuff about people who are doing fashion. There's no way the NBA, the NFL, baseball, football ain't got no contracts. What's wrong with that picture? Damn, man. I mean, a Russian can come here and buy a basketball team before football gets a contract to design their clothes.
Let's go to 267, Eric
Code. Did he give football any money? Did he help them get into a contract? All them black players in football and basketball, damn near zero in baseball, but then them black players in them leagues demand that the owners contract with FUBU. And there was another black clothes outlet that went kind of like national. But no, we didn't get them kind of contracts. No, not at all. And we could probably make some leagues. And we ain't telling them, we want y'all to hire some black clothes designers so we can wear with our uniforms. No, It didn't happen. No.
We're in conversation with
the last team to get a black on the baseball club and ain't never had a black coach, manager. So you figure out where the heck we are in this mix of things. The most racist city both the nation pictures are.
We're in conversation with activists and former Philadelphia. Hold on a second, Mr. Jones. We're in conversation with activists and former official Philadelphia Minority Business Enterprise Council, Mr. Hanford Jones. We're talking about our folks getting work here in the city of Philadelphia with all these major building projects happening all across the city, the Rapid Bridge Replacement Campaign, the Phoenix Project, and rebuild going on in Philadelphia. How many of our people are working? How many contractors, prime contractors, or even workers on these sites? Let's go to 267. 267, Eric Oat. 267. And let's put them back on hold. They stepped away. Richard, when you was asking that question earlier, let me read a segment from one of these published reports that Mr. Jones sent me, because it talks about the Comcast towers and blacks that were working for Local 542, which is the crane operators and heavy equipment workers, when they were subject to all types of racial epithets, being called an N-word from supervisors, looking at trailers and seeing 88 and number 14 spray painted in trailers, which is some type of a white supremacy symbol. People know about this because the black workers have complained. They've complained to the union chief, Bobby Heenan. I didn't know he was union chief and city councilman, but he's aware of the complaints. But this stuff goes unanswered. And these white unions keeps still getting these work and discriminating against black potential employees or subcontractors or even prime contractors, because it states here in this other report that Mr. Jones sent me in 2014, the Inquirer reported that Local 98 has dumped $25.6 million of its resources into Philadelphia political campaigns since the year 2000. The IBEW's PAC have donated to most of the people who currently hold seats in city council, including Council President Darrell Clark, who was a huge union, who had huge union support. IBEW Local 98 also dumped or helped get its own member elected to council, including current council person Bobby Heenan. Local 98 gave $11,500 maximum amount allowed by law directly to Jim Kenney's mayoral campaign, but it alone dumped over more than $200,000 into a building a better PA pack, which ran ads for Jim Kenney. So you see all of this money, $25.6 million, that's been funneled to council people, current council people, and council is mainly black. So you see why.
You keep the money if you don't use it all. You can still keep it if you don't use it all, so it's a bank. You know, man.
Wait a minute. Go a little slower, Mr. Jones. That money that's donated to council, if you don't use it all, you keep it.
Well, I mean, unless you're going to run again, it's for your campaign. I mean, that's what they're looking at Senator Congressman Brady on. Money that he had left over, he gave somebody else to help pay their bills, supposedly. So you kind of like, you know, slush fund it, if you will. But, you know, I was going to say that Comcast First Tower had a news incident hanging off of an elevator hoist. So both Comcast projects had those activities. I wrote to council, I'll show you, asking them to issue a bill that would demand that no Confederate flags could be flown or on tags of cars or vehicles on a city job site. Nobody ever responded. When the Confederate issue after the white boy killing people in church came up, only New Orleans has stuck to it and took down them Confederate monuments. Only New Orleans. And that damn son of the governor that killed the students at Southern University when I was down there in 1970-74. Governor Edwards, his son is the mayor of New Orleans, and he made sure the statues came down. Baltimore talked about it, did a study, I don't know where it's at. Philly talked about it, and it died down. There ain't nobody talking about getting rid of them Confederate statues in Fairmount Park or in the state legislature at Gettysburg and places like that. You can still go to Harrisburg and buy Confederate items. Telling me you can do that in America still? Yeah, because unfortunately, Obama didn't executive order them out, take their passports and flying rights away. They should be non-persona grata, just like, you know, a Nazi running around holding an office if you're a Klansman, you know?
Let's go to 267 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Is that me, Elliot?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Elliot, Richard, and Hanford. Let me ask Hanford. With all that you laid out, which you are 100% correct, what's the solution? And don't hang up on me yet, Elliot.
No, you stay good. Go ahead.
What's the solution, Hanford, with all the information that you know?
Speaking for myself, get off the podium and have fun for the rest of my life and be dead in 2 days. Because there's too many people in too many places that need to be gotten rid of. It ain't one person. It's a whole system. If you talk about council, then you got to talk about the legislature. They don't have no joint quarterly meetings to discuss black issues. Well, why don't they? They got all these mediums, teleconferencing, Skyping. So y'all ain't, they don't even meet quarterly. Just discuss our business. And that's the kind of thing that is, to me, a solution, that they talk among themselves once in a while through these new high-tech mediums that are out there. I think some are really well-meaning, but I believe many of them feel it's a lost issue just because things like the first caller said to do aren't happening. There aren't hundreds of jobs getting stopped. When them act up people protested against George Bush and a couple of them got hit in the head, so they got paid inside 9 months. They got paid. The act up people got paid. for black people, man. It's just a whole different thing. There's a wall somewhere I saw with a whole bunch of languages, but none of them were African. It's somewhere on a city building, and none of them were African names. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, doesn't somebody see this? Oh, it was at the airport. It was at the airport. I'm like, don't somebody see this? We said, so it's just everybody ain't in it no more. It's a lost cause for those who are serious, and for those who are hanging on, paying their bills, getting their kids in school, they're going to keep on trucking. Somewhere in the early 90s, all these minority business offices demanded that you had to be a lawyer. Well, why? Ain't nobody went to law school and got a degree in minority business participation. There ain't no law degree in that. So why do you think a lawyer got to run this stuff? And that's where it started going downhill. Because half the time, the lawyer didn't even practice in court, no law. He just had a law title. I mean,
Brother Jones, Mr. Jones, and Brother Sabor, from the point of solutions, I think that what's in there is that, or what I heard, and I just want to, you know, see if we kind of all agree, because I think it's important to come, not to be look at it in a dire perspective. One, that I'm you sorry. Need to have community awareness, right? That's what it seems like Mr. Jones is saying. It seems that you need to have, and I say community because it seems that's where it needs to start.
But they want better job sites in the community. They see we ain't out there. They see change, like you said, Mike.
I think that gets to the, when I say community, because that is nebulous, because I don't mean that outside of someone has to take the responsibility to inform and organize the community that this is what they need to do, whether it be.
It's supposed to be that way. What I'm happy about is that they're not tearing up new housing in their community, even with all the frustrations, even when getting discriminated against not getting a job. They're letting the projects get built, which is positive. I think they've given up to the point where, oh, I ain't got no job, at least there'll be a new house and somebody can rob and kill later on in a couple of years. Unfortunately, that kind of stupid thinking might be going through their head. But on the most part, they're not destroying what's coming up new, despite getting left out. So we have some humanity and civility in our poor selves and our underutilized selves. We still have respect. And
We're acting like you're saying the politicians and bureaucrats are.
We're just acting conditioned
to that. And I'm saying that in relationship to Brother Sabor's question, in relationship to a solution, we can either look at it as a negative or we could look at it as a starting point. And if we look at it as a starting point for now, because I think LA is the point about 2035.
Called the illusion of inclusion. And the next race for council, he lost because he had no driver's license. Some stupid off the world stuff.
Now hold on a second, Mr. Jones, Brother Sabor. Go ahead.
Elliot, see, because what I hear from Hanford, is that the current groups of people in positions of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
In our community, Hanford is saying they are done. That's what I hear. And what I hear Richard saying is that it's a new type of leadership that need to come up out of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to ask all of y'all, have y'all heard about the group of African-American men who are starting their own union in all the trades from the ground up?
I've not heard that.
No, I haven't, Brother Spool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to be in contact with them.
In the middle 80s, we had talked to the boys up in Newark in 1199C. come to Baltimore and say, we're getting ready to build that Fort McHenry 12. But it didn't matter no way. So,
are you saying in Philadelphia, support, brother, yeah. support? Are you saying
and
in Philadelphia then? Okay.
And all of y'all know the brother, Shaka. Y'all know Shaka. Shaka is talking about starting a union for African Americans in all the skilled trades from the ground up.
Okay.
So it's still those that's in positions of leadership, they are what they are. And it's nothing the three of us, the four of us can do about them. Nothing. But accept, critique, criticize, condemn, compliment. Whatever way you want to look at it. But they are who they are. And so I thought it was an interesting idea. And I think Hanford should especially be an advisor or something to Shaka and them as they starting to get off the ground their own black or African-American trade organization.
Well, if it's a spinoff on the round table, because I know when Paul Ballas was here at the school board, he was not, I ain't going to say against the unions, but he knew their power wasn't right and they were discriminatory, and he didn't want to have unions. He broke that up. And then he had small contracting program for blacks. Yeah, I don't think it ever really did get on the ground for maybe a couple of months. Just didn't work it long enough. So Paul Ballas and the roundtable group was shocking them back in the mid-90s or late-90s. That was tried then, and Paul Ballas was receptive. But that's what you need, even with a black union group. And you still need the black leadership. And I'd like to see that continue. At the same time, journeymen and existing unions rise up and demand that, you know, they get officer jobs. You see, that's easy for them to do. If the city says, all right, no more private labor agreements until we see a black man in the executive board level, until we see some black women in the officers level, until there's a 50-50 ratio of business agents, then you don't have no private labor agreements. All of a sudden, blacks rise up in the existing union.
So and that's why it's important, Mr. Jones. I think that we are clear of how we're clear of the organizational structure and the specific positions within those organizations that we need to target to put people in. I understand trying, and I agree with Brother Sabor, and from the perspective of, well, we may not be able to persuade those that are in those positions today,
really
tomorrow.
Really can. You know the city ordinance.
I said we may not. But we can't.
To require the unions have some blacks on the boards, or else they can't be in the private labor group.
I understand. If it was that simple, it would be done.
It is. Trust me. We don't have a heart. We don't have a red, black, and green will.
Well,
we want our masters to continue running us. It's that simple, my man. But we
I don't think it's that simple.
Wait a minute, hold on.
It's that simple.
Go ahead, Richard.
I don't think it's that simple. It's because the reason why I don't think it's that simple, because an individual can holler in the wilderness and no one hear them. But when they holler amongst a crowd, which means to me, I translate into when the individuals go back within the communities and inform them, direct them, and then actually lay out the action plan that they, not the individual, but they will do. Then what you say, I see, will happen. But expecting the individual who's hollering in the wilderness to make the person who's just listening on the other side do more than just ask, who is that? It's not going to work. But when the person who is hollering amongst and educating and organizing that community, building that union, developing those individual students, male and females, to become lawyers so they be positioned for those positions, making sure that the money is raised to put the elected officials in the position
so that they recognize that their marching orders come from where these dollars come from, which come from these people. When that happens, then we're operating as mature, politically organized people within a system that is as old as it is. Other than that, as you say, we're just sitting, thinking something, wishing something, praying for something to happen that will not happen. It'll just get worse. It won't get better.
Brother Sabor, let me ask you a question, because you're on the streets all the time. Do you think that the average one of our people know that one of the reasons why you don't see blacks on these construction sites, either working or subcontractors or prime contractors, is that their elected officials that are supposed to represent them have taken money from these unions to discriminate against their own people? Do you think the average one of our people know this, Brother Sabor?
Man, is that an heavy question? Because because they have dumbed down the masses of our people to the point where the masses don't care. The masses, they don't vote. It's only a handful of really African-Americans that vote, and it's exactly how they want it. The masses of our people are really dissatisfied. They don't trust our political leaders. Masses don't trust. And you got a handful of elected people that have jobs and so forth and so forth, committee people, ward leaders. They are the ones who make sure that they are constantly in office, but it's a small circle. It's a small thing.
Well, you know they're trying to change all that with them RCOs, that new millennium crap, the registered community organization. I mean, that's
so you'd be the first 5 pages of a Republican. So Elliot, the masses of our people, they like he was just saying, they really wandering in the wilderness.
Okay.
They don't have no trust. Half a chance, like he came to Philly about the 90s, somewhere around there. He came here really during the time Wilson Good helped to really discourage a lot of participating in voting. When he was to run as the first black mayor, it was great hope in him among the masses. And he disappointed them. and it seems like it went downhill.
Ever since. I agree.
I know contractors under the Good administration, black, that went to D.C. because they had the Schultz market. That went to Atlanta because the mayor was strong and black. I know guys that did do that. They weren't coming to Philly. We were leaving. And they were the bigger guys. They were some, you know, one steel guy, one HVAC mechanical contractor, did very well down there.
But I would say,
we got sued in Chapter 17500. 5 or 6 people reset overnight and rewrote Executive Order 183, and the mayor crystallized it in 48 hours. And we had a new executive order. That's what I mean when I say it could be done overnight. You just have to put the pencil to the paper and do it.
Hanford is looking at a period of time Hanford is looking at a period of time, and in his memory is when blacks were on the rise. Hanford is not looking at how we were sidetracked over the last 20 years. And where we are now, we are still into that sidetrack. They have replaced the good quality leaders during the period of Hanford's heyday, who were, as he says, red, black, and green, conscious-minded, and sophisticated enough to handle that within this white system. We don't have that now. The ones that we have now, as Hanford said, that's not their socialization. It doesn't mean they're bad people. That just wasn't their socialization. Not one of them today that I could name. I don't know if Hanford was here with Dave Richardson. Were you here then?
Oh, yeah. Dave's so a bill in the legislature that no board of commission shouldn't be unintegrated. Give me a break. Oh, please. That needs to be reinvestigated.
Go ahead, Jamal.
Real red, black, and green state legislators both have a heart attack in the hospital. Oh, yeah, right. Give me a break with that.
Hanford, the question I'm asking you, of all the elected officials that we have out of Philadelphia that you have been knowing for the last 20 years that's in office right now, can you compare any of them to Dave Richardson, yes or no?
Kurt in the 90s, before he became a true politician, because when he gave me a break,
who was that?
Always told him that, you know,
who did you say?
Who did you say?
He's different. He's a politician now.
Who are you talking about, Mr. Jones?
Curtis Jones.
Okay.
Curtis Jones, that's when we did the black goal. He let me put equity ownership on bids. He approved all that. But now it's, you know, it's...
He was at PCDC, wasn't he?
He was, after he left NBEC, yes, sir. And he gave a loan to Cody Anderson and maybe a couple other people. But, you know... the state had a loan fund too, Pennsylvania Small Business Minority Development Financing Authority. Sabor, I forget his last name, ran it. It needs to be reactivated.
So, but I killed Sabor. Listen, my question though, right now today, can you name anyone today that is on the level of Dave Richardson during his heyday?
No, not on a consistent, straight-up level, no.
Right.
He didn't trade. It wasn't political. It was straight red, black, green. That's what we need, boom. Yeah.
So my point I'm making to you, Hanford, so the people that we have in there today, there's a whole new different socialization of them. And you're measuring them.
No, no, go ahead.
Oh, and you're measuring the ones we have in there today. You're measuring them from a time period that really is unfair to this group, because this group is close.
It is. And you're absolutely right, because we were in control of how it went then. We've lost that control through inefficiency, no care about it. So you're absolutely right. And that's why I'm saying it is dire at my level. I don't know how these business people are doing it, but it's dire, because the interest to see us better, to see us with new equipment, we don't even envision it. So it ain't gonna happen. Charlie hasn't been out here since the damn 60s. Ain't got no new trucks.
And Brother Sabor. Brother Sabor, I want you to realize, too, and I know that you do, that even though this current crop, and then we got a call too, so call or stay with us. Even though this current crop of so-called elected officials don't hold a candle to a man like Dave Richardson, we realize that our people are at war. With this Philly 2035 and the assessment that they have for Philadelphia residents, according to that published report you sent me, Richard, they don't really intend for black people to be functioning in this city. So if they don't intend for black people to be around and functioning citizens of Philadelphia anymore, these people are not wartime politicians. But they're not wartime politicians. They're useless to us now. They're useless to us. They're taking money from these unions that discriminate against black people. I mean, this type of behavior, they are useless to us. They might be nice individuals.
Well, it's a RICO. Racketeering, corrupt, discriminating. discriminatory organization.
We put it in a global context, though. I mean, you know, yes, and I agree. But it's two things that, you know, we have to put it in the global context that the neocolonialism, as they call it, having leadership who are not looking out for the people is not no new mechanism. And as you call it, Brother Sabor, that they're conditioned, but they were also selected to be supported because they're not being supported by us, because if we're not participating on the money side or by the vote side, they're not being supported by us. So they're being selected to exclude us. But the point is that the second point is that, you know, the vision is that we have the capacity, and we see that even with the new crop of mayors, say in Newark or Mississippi, that are coming up, that are there. And then in Philadelphia, we recognize we have to cultivate that new crop and make sure that they have that, whether they enunciate their red, black, and green or not. But they'll know that this is their program. I'm saying that only to say that it's not dire or despair. It's opportunity, and it's a motivation. It's an awakening call. It's a motivational call on us to make that happen. Because the people are just waiting there.
Hey, Brother Support, listen, I want to thank...
inauguration, I could have sworn, I don't know why, I was seeing a whole bunch of red, black, and green flags. Ain't seen none at all. Till they ain't going to little people to sell stuff, they was out there to make money. The red, white, and blue was going to make the money. I didn't even see that. I might have seen 10 red, black, and green flags. And I was like, oh, hell, what's going on here? You got a black president.
Hey,
listen, I want to thank you for calling. But Brother Sabor, I want you to keep listening, because I want to play something, and I want you to, even if you want to call back and comment on it, I'm going to play something in reference to what you said earlier. But keep listening.
Okay.
And thanks for your call.
All right,
peace.
All right, boss. 267.
Give us about another 5 minutes. Let's take this call. 267.
Hey, Brother Elliot Ralph.
How are you, sir?
All right, how you doing, Richard?
I wanted to
shout at Sabor and Hanford, but look, let me tell you, my personal experience with Curtis Jones, he tried to help me, man, get a school together to teach inner city youth. He had it all set up with the stipends. The only thing we were lacking was a building. And he said he sent me out to Ron Waters, and that's when everything fell off the table. Ron Waters said, I don't know him, and he never done nothing for me. He never put nothing in my pocket.
That's miniature thinking stuff. You know?
Yeah, that's what, and Ron Waters squashed the whole thing.
But they thinking minimal. They ain't thinking maximum.
Right. And now, check it out. Like, I'm talking to different contractors down there at Philadelphia, Illinois. They're trying to suspend their license, get them out of, you know, I mean, these are contractors that spent a lot of money on their insurance.
You talking about black contractors?
Black contractors, yes. Illinois has a couple of races down there that are just like.
Coming, man, please.
Yeah, and you know, and you, when you go to Illinois, it's nothing but black people there. But then behind the scenes, it's white folks that run it. That's right. So, man, Philadelphia, these elected officials, they are worthless.
Excuse me, sir. Philadelphia is a racist northern town. I experienced the same thing you just said in government. They talk like you ain't there. First year there was two or three of them that got embarrassed because I wasn't one of them kind of Negroes. And they understood it, and my superiors backed me up. I mean, they do try you. And what you're saying, they need to get together and do a petition so that can be investigated. Because every time they come up with a new system, we always get jacked up the most from it.
Right. So, no, I just had to call in my experience with Curtis Jones, though. I mean, he did, honestly, Chuck.
He big time, but now that he's a real politician, it ain't the same thing no more.
Oh, he's a real politician now. Okay.
I'm all now, but I swear to God, Negro saved my life out of Baltimore. Before they put the corner in the wire on TV, he saved my life and gave me a chance to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Right. God, I wish he could go back to where he was when he hired me. Because he really had it. He was the closest to a Dave Richardson. I saw him, you know.
That's the
same. I go to Charles Tuchman. Nobody will ask me a question. I'm like, okay, y'all, let me go.
Well, I'm gonna hang up. I just wanted to like call you and let you know my experience with Curtis Jones was all positive. But if he turned like the rest of them, that was actually around 2004, 2005.
He was positive, just giving counsel, right?
Everything was positive. But when it went to Ron Waters, there was the enemy. So I'm just letting you know there what y'all have and what y'all keep voting in the office, man. These people are pathetic. So, all right, I'm going to hang up and continue listening.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you for staying in there.
And let's grab one more before you leave us, Mr. Jones. 215 area code.
267 there. Yeah. Macklin here.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
John Macklin. What Hanford is telling you is
the exact turn your volume. Your volume is up in the background.
Wait a minute. Let me turn this off. Okay.
Great.
What Hanford was telling you is exactly what is going on. We don't have the leadership at the top like they did.
Okay, now
the folks who have been in charge have allowed them to sneak in legislation like the PLA agreement, the procurement revisal. They need the leadership at the top. Don't have the heart to do what needs to be done because they don't have the enforcement. If they don't, they make these laws, but they don't enforce them. And the first thing and the best thing I heard was to start your own union. Start your own union, but that's another issue. But what Hanford is telling you, you know, Hanford is on the case. That PLA is one of the things that Mayor Nutter knocked in there, and he had an advisory committee, and he didn't notify his advisory committee. I was on that advisory committee. I asked him. I said, why did you institute this executive order and allow the PLA before you come to your advisory committee? You know what he said? He said, this has been in the makings for the last couple of years. I said, nah, that's the wrong answer, brother. We know why you did it. We know why you did it.
Now, what does the PLA
Project Labor Agreement? That means all the contracts now that's coming down the pike, it's got to have labor. They have to have union. They hide behind the labor union because the labor union is the only black union going. It's the skilled trade union that's been blocking us from expanding and getting ahead in this city. The skilled laborers. The trade had a contract with the Board of Education for the last 4 or 5 years and didn't educate any of those folks to come out to be apprenticeship. And yet they wanted to renew those contracts every year. It was almost $400,000 they were getting, wasted. And we weren't benefiting from it at all. So it's a whole lot that's been going on and is still going on. And the folks in leadership now, like Hanford said, they don't have the heart nor the guts and don't even know what they're in there for but just to pick up a paycheck. It's all in there to pick up a paycheck.
One of the biggest things I hated during my last years in government was when on city stationery they started putting all that, it wasn't Facebook back then, and it wasn't even Twitter. It might have been Facebook, but they started putting all that other social media stuff on city stationery. I'm like, we ain't got time for that. You ain't even answer regular letters. So we've gotten too millennium, too smart. In 1999, the U.S. Department of Commerce said that computer crap is, they created that digital divide report. And then Ms. Tasco reissued one in, I guess, like 2000 that says we are still falling behind. Every time you turn around with procurement now, just to bid on a simple janitorial contract, you have to write a proposal. Well, man, I just want to clean the toilet. Hey, let me just put a bid in. But they get more sophisticated, turn you around, turn you away. You've got to have a person on board, $20,000, $30,000, just to mess with the computer system that different places have for you to do business with them. Most small private businesses can't afford that type of personnel. So you're further behind the eight ball. White women? Oh, sure. The Hispanic people? Right. Yeah. Right. In the end, yeah.
You're right, because if the community knew what was really going on, your ministers would have been involved, the community organizations would have been involved. They know what exactly going on because half of them are apart and friendly with the union establishment, the skilled trade union establishment. That's why we can't get ahead in this town. Our contractors are moving out of the city. They're getting contracts everywhere but here in Philly. Why? Because they're not getting the support. They're not getting no financing. And they keep saying that we can't find none. That's a bunch of BS. After 30 years, we can only identify one or two prime contractors here in this city. And the ones that were primes before, they knocked them out. The union knocked them out. They had to get out of the city and go elsewhere. Now you just have one that I really know, Perryman. They're going to work him to death, and he's going to get jammed. You know, every time we get a prime contractor that's black, they work him to death until they don't need him no more.
If I may ask, how could the community in general protect those prime contractors from your vantage point?
How they can protect the prime contractors?
Yes. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. If they honor the pre-qualification form and ask these guys if they have blacks on their boards and executives, and when they say no, that you have a rejection criteria low. Half of them would fail because they ain't got no integration at their board or officer level inside their company. They don't have blacks on their private jobs where there are no MP participation requirements. That means you must discriminate. Because when you got private work, you don't look at black people. You only look at us when you got a government contract and you got to. Well, maybe they shouldn't do this with the city. That's how you eliminate them, by pre-qualifying them out of competition because they don't meet your qualification levels. But that means you got to be black and you might lose a white friend. That's what happens.
Wow.
That's why you got it, Mr. Ascenti. Like, I'll give it to you money. But I asked the council to stop it because you look on the PHL website now, the same white boys bidding the same work all the time. You go to the school board website, you'll see a $65,000 electrical job, and the same big white boys are bidding. That's
So
that might be bid rigging, but racial bid rigging, if anything. But you can't take it to the civil rights at the Justice Department because they bet an average of zero. Eric Holder ain't win none of them damn cases. He some of them, none of them he won.
Nothing's going to happen in the town until a suit is filed against the city and the unions related to the discriminatory practices that they have deliberately set up on allowing blacks not to get involved, keeping them out of the system with the tactics that they use.
Thank you for your call, sir.
You're welcome.
Mr. Jones, listen, I want to thank you for being with us and sharing with us this evening the situation here with our people trying to get to be primes, to be subs, and to even get jobs in these major projects that's happening around Philadelphia. Listen, my email is always there. Whatever you send me, I'll share it.
I appreciate if you can find out why the Tribune don't want to cover it.
Well, listen, I think we've talked about tonight why the Tribune don't want to cover it. Because I believe that they're taking money from these trade unions also.
Yeah, they right. Let me go back with my poor self. It's Friday night. I got to have actually a couple now, so.
Mr. Jones, thanks for being.
All spirited up. Thank you very much.
Thanks for being with us.
This high-tech world that you all are in.
I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, sir.
All right, my man, let the Afro be good, man. Y'all still going to move to another place or what?
No moving.
Yeah, because one time y'all were going to go down to Washington and Broad at one time.
No, it's still there.
Yeah.
Come on down sometime.
Yeah, I do need to come down, man. Sometimes I just hide in the hole because I don't be around bougie people. over intellectually, yet not black. And not to say that people in the museum, when they have parties, I know all them folks, trust me. I know them all. Enjoy. Keep doing the good stuff y'all doing.
Mr. Jones, thanks for being with us.
Seriously, straight up. All right. Thank you again.
All right. We'll be right back after a brief break.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
Hey, did y'all see the stuff I posted on my wall?
Nah, it didn't even show up in my newsfeed.
Man, I'm done with social media. All the injustice and brutality going around, and it's like they're trying to suppress our voice. We're trying to get the message out there, and you can't even share empowerment and what's going on around the country either. Mm-mm.
Nah, don't be dumb with social media, though. It's a tool, and there is a place where we have a voice. It's a Let's Buy Black 365 social network. You do anything you would on any other social network. Post pictures, videos, status updates, share resources and community news. But on Let's Buy Black 365, it's a platform for us and by us to tell our messages.
Whoa, that's like a digital underground railroad.
What's the name of that site again?
It's letsbuyblack365.com.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's all about networking, and you get points, right?
Yeah, the more you network, post, and share, the more points you get. Plus, you get points for posting pictures, sharing information, attending community events, and inviting others to network with you on the app.
Wow, that's all I need to know. I'm gonna go download that app right now.
Now, better yet, let me invite you so I can get some points. It's all about empowerment and solutions, y'all.
Yeah, that's what's up. I'm all in.
Let's do it. Let's share our stories.
Let's buy black365.com.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
On the move. Assalamu alaikum. Free Momia. Free Momia. Free Momia. Free Momia now. Brothers and sisters, comrades, it's certainly my pleasure to be here. Royal state representatives from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I am ashamed to be a state representative in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania with a chump like Governor Ridge at the helm. I'm ashamed. But I wanted to come here today to let you know that some of us are not afraid. That even though we may be elected, we'll say what's on our mind. But we must understand that we're freedom fighters first, and that all the other things come next. That I'm a black man first, and then a state representative. I don't confuse the two. And I think it's time for us to wake up and realize and understand that you got a lot of us that are willing to go to battle, because of freedom ain't gonna never be free unless we take it. There's too many of us sitting around thinking that it's gonna come to us on some damn silver platter. Wake up, you fools, and understand this man has no respect for you. None. None whatsoever. And they will continue to do what they do to Mumia only because they feel that you don't have no heart. Well, let me just say this to y'all. I want to send a message to the FOP. I want to make it loud and clear so it won't be any mistake about what's being said today. And I'm saying it as a black man in the city of Philadelphia and not as the state representative. I ain't scared the hell of y'all. And I'm not going to let you intimidate our people either. That's over. So when you come on with some threat about you going to boycott every event that we have and you going to stop the people from coming to contribute their money, get the hell out of our way, because we ain't going nowhere. The time has come for everybody to wake up and realize that this ain't no joke. We're not going to let you take Mumia's life. And we want to send a message to America that the death penalty has got to end. We're going to wipe it out the same way they did in South Africa. But they did it by power of the people. When Nelson Mandela stepped out of jail and threw his hands up in the air, he was a strong brother. After 27 years being in jail, it didn't cripple his spirit. And I want to let all of you know that have come from all across this country. You got some brothers and sisters in Philadelphia that are willing to rumble no matter what and ain't afraid of the Philadelphia police, the national police, the FOP, and all the rest of them that come together with today. In my conclusion, I just want to say, and I know the time has been rough today, but a lot of y'all need to know what this looks like for many of us here in the city of Philadelphia. Governor Ridge is getting a message again. Not only did those 115,000 calls go on, that's an underestimated of the number that have been calling, as an underestimated number of those who signed petitions, as an underestimated number of those who've come in and out of the city of Philadelphia from all across this country to give the kind of solidarity that's needed in order to make sure we free Mumia Abdul-Jabbar. We're not going to take this lying down. And I know that Mumia, in his heart, knows that we're all with him. So brothers and sisters, we're here as freedom fighters and black liberation strugglers who understand the importance of who and what we are, and we ain't gonna let no titles get in the way. Free Mumia. Free Mumia. Free Mumia. Free Mumia. No justice. No justice. Assalamu alaikum.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m. Fridays at 8 p.m. for podcasting or live program scheduling. Hit us up at Time for an Awakening. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And Richard.
Yes, sir.
It was an interesting discussion that we had.
We're drilling down, Elliot.
Wow. You know, I wanted to play something for the listening audience that didn't hear, especially the local listeners. And it had something to do with what Sabor asked about what should we be doing or what should we do. Brother Sabor mentioned a solution that some of the men that he's working with have come up with as far as forming an African-American union, trade union, which is excellent because there's enough tradesmen out there that we can form our own union, and the ones that are not official or don't have their paperwork, we can help them get their paperwork because they definitely have the skills, even if they don't have the papers behind them. They definitely have the skills. But, you know, what happened in City Council, Philadelphia City Council, when Black Lives Matter, some of the leadership of the local Black Lives Matter organization went in there and confronted black elected officials. That's something that eventually has to happen because these people have put themselves in an adversarial position with their own communities. They've aligned themselves with enemies of their own communities. These trade unions and all don't want black people working on their sites. And the ones they have working on their sites are hand-picked Negroes that they feel comfortable with. You see all this stuff going on, and I'm going to just allude to this, with all this opioid epidemic and how all of a sudden the government want to reach out and help because it's stuff that spread to the white community. The difference is this, Richard. When crack spread in our communities, if we had a brother or sister that cleaned themselves up from crack, then that's what he did. He might not be able to go nowhere and get no job, or it'll be a fight for him to get a job. And I'm talking about a living wage job where he can take care of his family. But you dealing with this opioid epidemic, if a white guy cleans himself up, then there's a good chance he can go down there to one of those construction sites and get a job, because he got an uncle, cousin, father, brother that's on one of them construction sites, and they're going to look out for him, even if he comes on the site as a laborer. It's safety nets there for some of these whites that's cleaning themselves up from these opioids. Wasn't no safety net there for black people that managed to shake themselves loose of this crack epidemic. So when you see these black politicians align themselves, take money from these trade unions, and then get in there and back any old racist policies, racist edicts, don't put blacks on these jobs, and using city funds and city money, this stuff here with this, not renewal, what's the name of this?
Rebuild.
Yeah, this rebuild. Richard, you know that has everything to do. It's tied in with this gentrification, because before this, you go around to half the libraries in the black community was closed, and they ain't hardly have any books in them. And some of the recreation centers was in deplorable condition. You couldn't go in there and use a bathroom or anything. But if you went to rec centers and all in white neighborhoods, beautiful. Grass cut, manicured surfaces, beautiful facilities. I used to play basketball all over the city in different leagues. And some of the white rec centers you went in, you could use the locker room, shower. Ain't no such thing about using no locker room in these inner city neighborhoods. But this money now is going to rehab some of those centers and all in inner city neighborhoods and black areas, because those are areas that's gentrified. They don't have to use money to rehab some of these places all up in the far northeast. They already got beautiful rec centers, functioning libraries. But they're targeting areas all in South Philly, North Philly and all, that was looked like somebody threw a bomb in there, but now white folks is around those areas. So they want to clean them places up, spruce them up, fix them up for white folks.
And you see how it's a concerted plan, coordinated plan developed over time.
Most definitely.
And I mean, as you kept preaching about the 2035, and all I ask, and I know some people think it's possibly maybe being abstract, that whether we do it as individuals or we do it in groups, we need to say, this is what our future is going to be, and then start coordinating these efforts, like what the brother Tabor was saying, or like putting in that class action or discrimination suit against the city and the skilled union labor union. I mean, these would become coordinated efforts in order to get the end result of we are going to provide a lifestyle, a quality of life for Black Philadelphians, our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, just like anybody else will do and should do. And anybody's in the way of doing that is really doing us a disservice, and we're not going to support them, and we're not going to have them in our way. But we gotta have, this is the vision. You know how Garvey said that, right? Without a vision, the people perish.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta have a vision, and a vision is a part of the plan. And then we just go ahead about and doing it. And that's
Elliot. I agree. It upsets me, you know, to see it happening. Them pulling and using black folks to do it.
I know it.
I mean, you know what I mean? When we I'm trying to think of the council person because that just became the head of a ward in South Philly, Kenyatta. And the right of our scene, what is he going to have to do as ward leader? Raise money. What he's raising money for? The Democratic Party.
And you know where this money coming from. We just seen where a lot of this money is coming from.
Right, exactly. That's why, I mean, that's
so when you see all that building going on in South Philly, and you go down there and don't see no blacks working in their own neighborhoods, you see every other nationality, Mexicans, whites, everybody. No blacks working in these areas on these construction sites. But they keep voting for these people. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of our people really know what's going on. It's time to wake up. Let me play a little bit of this clip.
Those who do know and not doing nothing are going to have to get out of the way for those who become awake and want something done.
I'm going to play a little bit of this clip for our listening audience that might not be aware of it, but they can go on there and see when Black Lives Matter confronted Darryl Clark here in Philadelphia at, I think it was a council meeting or one of these meetings. I'll just play a little bit of this for our listening audience, if I can get it straight here.
And no one went to jail for it. So this is a history and a pattern of abuse from the 15th District law enforcement right here in Philadelphia, and no one is saying anything. This is an outrage that this officer is allowed to be back on the force. Now, as council president, you have been silent. As a black man, I can't understand personally. I can't understand why a council president who made his bones off of black people voting for him in North Philadelphia is silent when you have a shooting death on tape here in Philadelphia. So now we're here. We've already heard from the mayor. We've already heard from the managing director. So we got what they said. Now we're asking you, where do you stand on the death and the shooting death of David Jones? I want you to say in front of everybody where you stand. Well, then we're going to keep right here while you're talking. Then see, this is the mess. Excuse me, I was talking myself. But this is an attitude. See, this is why you'll never be the mayor of the city, because you're not smart. If you came up to John Street, you're not smart. See, the mayor knew that I am not going to let myself tangled up in this. I'm going to play the political role, whether you agree or not. He's a smart politician. That's why he's the mayor. You'll never be. And the managing director understood where we were coming from. They understood the sympathy of the family and the outrage of the people, black people who vote for you. Now you're going to sit here with all black people here saying you're not going to dictate to us. That's the wrong answer, councilman. Exactly. That's the wrong answer. And you're not going to dictate to us. We will shut this motherfucker down. Do you understand? We will shut it down. We will shut it. This is now a Black Lives Matter occupation. And you're not going to speak since you want to disrespect the family of David Jones by dictating to us. That's the wrong answer, council president.
Let me respond.
Yeah, go ahead and respond then, sir.
So, with respect to your issue, our issue, because it's our issue, I have talked to a number of individuals, starting with the police department, and have talked to the attorney general. This particular issue, as you may or may not know, is going to be forwarded to the attorney general's office of the state of Pennsylvania for further investigation, because we anticipate that it will take away some of the issues with respect to the internal process of the police. I spoke to the attorney general last week. So that process will be made aware publicly. We will hopefully get a reasonable approach to having this investigated, and we will have an outcome. Promise.
Well, what is your personal opinion as the council president? Where do you stand on the shooting? Have you seen the videotape?
Anytime, told me a bit, but I'm thinking a bit. Anytime an individual is shot in the back, there needs to be some answers. The simple reality.
Okay, well, this is this officer's second time shooting somebody in the back. Because it's more deeper than one person getting shot in the back. It's deeper than that.
So where do you stand? That's the answer.
What I want to do is, as I believe will happen, as I said, I've talked to the Attorney General,
And I believe this is going to be thorough, and I believe this is
going
to be. But
we're not asking you, you're missing the
How
point.
How do you feel
we're
about it?
We're not
what do you
asking
have to
you
say?
About the investigation. We're asking you, where do you stand
you
on the
black
shooting
man.
As you saw the videotape? It said, Commissioner Ross said it gave him pause.
Right.
So where do you stand?
It gave me more than pause.
Okay, so
as
what?
As a black man.
Okay.
And as a person that grew up in North Philadelphia, the simple reality is there are a lot of troubling issues with respect to the shooting, as there is any shooting with respect to a police officer or anybody else. Right? Because I do have problems with possibly inappropriate shootings by police, but I also have problems with the more than 300 people that get killed every year in the city.
There we do too, absolutely.
And the 1,200 people. So
absolutely.
My approach to this issue is, well, I'd like to deal with all of the violence.
But right now, we're talking about, but right now, Councilperson, Councilman, we're talking about, nine weeks, Councilman. The fact that we have to even come and interrupt you for you to even go on record to say something is just outrageous. It's outrageous as a black man living, who grew up in North Philadelphia.
The reality is that you did not come and ask me.
We've reached out to every politician in our press conference, and you can say that. What makes you think you're mayor? You think you're better than the mayor, that he can't, if we shut him down, you can't be shut down, right. Neither Darrell Clark?
You know, you're not serious.
We're very serious about it.
Well, why didn't you
we're here. We sent you the same information asking for your response that we sent to every politician here.
This is the problem. He just told us, why didn't we come to him? He's seen a video of a black man being shot by an officer who has a history of shooting black men. He was allowed to still stay on the force after shooting one black man in the back. The councilman, Darrell Clark, president, just said, why didn't we come to him? Why do we have to come to you? If you the councilman, you the president, why don't you see these problems and address them? Why do we got to come down here and do this for you to speak? The first time we spoke in 2 months.
Do you know how many people are stopped and frisked in your district? Of course, now you two, you got your
right.
Temple's ass to realize what black folks are doing. The fact is, most of the stops and frisks is right here in this man's district. How do we know? Because we're in your neighborhood every day. We're taking the complaints. We are sending them to the Police Advisory Commission to file those complaints. We hear from those black mothers. We know about police violence in your district. So you are aware of these things. Here's a black man who is the president of city council who has to be forced by two black young men to respond about a shooting of a black man. You're not going to talk. You might as well sit down because we're shutting this down. We're shutting you down because you're a hypocrite. You might have been raised in North Philadelphia. You might have been raised in North Philadelphia, but certainly you have lost your way. When you cannot understand, when we got to have a meeting with you, that was your response. Your response, two white politicians had a better response than your black ass. You should be ashamed of yourself. And I'm telling you now that David Jones' life matters. This is what we're doing at Black Lives Matter. We're shutting things down because black people are being abused by law enforcement and handkerchief. Cool Negroes won't speak up about it. And we're tired of it. We're tired of it. And you should be tired of it. All of you should be tired of it. This is a black woman who has worked in this city, who has paid her taxes. She deserves answers. His fiance deserves answers. His children deserve answers. His brothers and sisters who march with us deserve answers. The neighborhood deserves answers. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. We're not going away. We want justice for David Jones. We want justice for David Jones. And as we said before, no politician will be safe. No press conference will be safe. We shut down Ed Riddell, racist behind. He deserved to go to jail for MOVE. Many of y'all deserve, got blood on your hands in this city for MOVE alone. So black and brown people have been abused for years, decades in this city. The fact is, Darrell Clark, you have a responsibility to your neighborhood. You have a responsibility to your community. You have responsibility to your people. We don't take pride in shutting a black man down. We want to lift black people up. But when we need to call you out, believe me, brother, we will call you out. Every day, if necessary. We want transparency. We want justice. There is no more press conference.
By any means necessary.
Can I get anywhere with you?
By any means necessary.
Yeah.
We want justice for David Jones.
You know what it's about. You know what it is.
You know what time.
I know what it's about.
Well, I want to get it on video.
We want justice for David Jones.
Okay. And you don't, you feel there is no justice? You don't believe
there is no justice? There is no transparency. The fact is, we, as Brother Ikey told you, that we are going to shut down these press conferences. We're going to shut it down because we want justice. The family deserves justice for David Jones. And we're not going to let the politicians off. We're not going to let the politicians run away and be scared and not say nothing.
Now, do you think they should have an investigation into this, or you don't trust the investigation?
We don't trust any type of investigation.
So there should be no investigation?
No, it should be an independent investigation.
By who?
By maybe the federal government. It should be, we should bring something to feds in here to do this. Okay. The fact is that we have not had any transparency whatsoever. We have not had any updates. The family have been left in the dark. This is why we're here. Keep bringing attention to David Jones, because the politicians and the investigators who are investigating this have been completely silent.
Well, maybe they're investigating. I don't know.
We want transparency. This interview is over.
Yes, ma'am.
What's your name, sir? Asa Khalid of Black Lives Matter. And this is Brother Isaiah.
Isaac Gardner. That's justice for David Jones. You ask the stupid questions. You see us out here.
Everybody ain't going to talk to him.
You see what's going on.
You know what time it is.
I mean, it's
you know what time. Don't get in an argument with him. Don't get in an argument with him. Back up.
You don't believe in investigation?
Back up. We don't believe in no racist channel six behind.
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you for coming. Ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry that we have to interrupt, but David Jones and justice for his family is more important than your press conference.
Exactly.
Justice for David Jones. Justice for David Jones. Justice for David Jones. Justice for David Jones. Who lies better? Black lies better. 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 Justice for David Jones.
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 Justice
for David Jones. Tate Brown, and no one
with me. Yeah, I guess you're going to see a lot more of that, Brother Richard.
Yeah, it seems so. It'll at least be another one of those coordinated efforts to inform the community of what we have to do.
And listen here, it's going to come to that going down on these construction sites, man. You got young blacks and older black men and even women that don't have gainful employment to take care of their families. I ain't talking about getting 2 and 3, 4 jobs or working at McDonald's and all that type of stuff. And you, even if with 3 of them, you can't have a living wage, especially if you got children and you need a roof over your head. Those construction jobs is more than gainful employment for somebody to raise a family on. And you got black folks walking by these sites, seeing all these other people in there working, and they don't have no jobs. Mm. Talking about shutting down city council, I think it's time to go down there and shut down some of the construction sites.
Mm. There you go.
That's what it's going to take. Some of these white folks, that's all they understand. They don't understand nothing else. They take advantage of everything else. They've been always used to taking advantage of people. That's their M.O. That's their milieu, so to speak, to take advantage. So
made in control.
Yeah. So, you know, I applaud what those men did.
I agree.
And especially calling out some of these black politicians. Call them out. He used some colorful language. I might not have used it when I was down there. But listen, call them out. Some of them deserve it. Call them out.
I have to say, Elliot, it just hurt me to see Darryl. I mean, he ain't know what, if for the listening audience, if you get to see the exchange or, you know, but you can even hear it in the tone of his voice. Trying to be and then having to back up. And all the question was, how do you feel about this as a black man?
He couldn't even answer it. He had, like, he was trying to pull teeth and get him in. That just shows you how much of a disgrace some of these politicians are. They're a disgrace. That the man was right when he said, man, you done lost your way. He said, you come from this community, you done lost your way.
And a lot of them are hiding behind their position, their office, their degrees, their profession, you know, their job.
Well, listen, the struggle continues, man. The work is cut out for us. So I applaud Brother Support and all the other men talking about the putting together the African American trade union, which listen, those brothers over there, there's some hardworking brothers over there at that Southwest District Service. So I know that if he said they're doing it, they're doing it.
Right.
So you know, I'll support them as much as I can, give them airtime to let the community know what they're doing. It may be a blueprint that other cities can use, because listen, other cities is going through the same stuff. It ain't no panacea for black people in these other cities trying to get work, trying to be subcontractors, prime contractors, or even get jobs in these construction sites. I remember when I left the Navy, when the Navy Yard closed down in the early 90s, I was a... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm getting a little feedback here. When I left the Navy Yard in the early 90s, I was a carpenter, an insulator, and they offered us jobs in Norfolk. I didn't want to relocate from Philadelphia, so I wasn't interested in going. And then it was opening up a new shipyard in Kings Bay, Georgia. Mm. So I wasn't interested in going. So they said, well, you know, you're a car carrying member, the Carpenters and Joiners of America. You can go down to the Union Hall and get some work. Man, I went down there. It was like I appeared from Mars. They wasn't interested in helping me. Mm. Bob Brady and his staff at that time, it wasn't interested in helping me. I said, listen, I'm a card-carrying member of the Carpenters and Joiners of America. He said, well, you're not a member of my local. I said, well, what the hell does that matter? I'm a national member of the Carpenters and Joiners of America, which means if I leave Philadelphia and go to Seattle, Washington, I ought to be able to go in a union hall and get work. Yeah, well, all of those tradesmen that was down there, it was black, and you had plenty of them. You had welders, carpenters, insulators, pipe fitters, electricians. You had a lot of different trades down there. I don't see hardly any of those men. I know one carpenter that worked down there with me at the yard that got a job with the city. I don't see any of those men. A lot of those men had to go to Norfolk. And Norfolk's shipyard was paying less than Philadelphia. So they took a pay cut to go down there. These trade unions here is racist as hell.
And when you follow the history of Philadelphia, you'll see that this is something that you can chart back to the 1800s.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, get a chance to read the Philadelphia Negro for any of our listening audience that haven't read it. W.B. Du Bois talked about the same thing, about those trade unions, and blacks couldn't get jobs. And this was in 1899 or something like that?
Yes, yeah. And you further back than that.
Yeah, and you know that during that period, that's all our people were tradesmen. Right. If anybody wasn't qualified to be a tradesman, it was some of them old whites. They ain't know nothing. Yeah, well, like I said, the struggle continues, Richard. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Sunday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.